mentioned yesterday, Indian Dalit Kuvav are all about Sui, meaning, as we keep on saying, Simon Chavei is the engine of Hilchos Tarovos. It is how things are transferred, how time gets transferred. So we've discussed Kavush, we've discussed the Rishon, Irid Rishon, the Sheni, how time gets transferred through Vishal, and now we're going to talk about how time gets transferred through Sli. At the end of the Simon, we're going to have how time gets transferred through Melicha. We have a little break in between. So, yeah, but right now, since Dalit Kuvav, we're going to talk about Sli. So even though Sonim and Sonim, when you have two cold things that touch each other, so the Alachi Mahadacha, heat creates Bulios, but there's a difference between different types of heat. There's heat that creates Bulios through Bishul, where the Bishul, we assume, generates heat through and through, and then there's the kind of heat that creates Bishul through Sli, where it's not Bishul, it's not liquid medium, it's just dry things that are heated together, that are put together, so that, or roasted together, and that has a different status. Agav, before I start, actually, before we get into the sukkah, I got a text last night from a woman in the shul, and she said, I have a kashrus shayla, please call me. And that's unusual, because normally someone's texting a kashrus shayla, as you've seen, I forward those, and, it's just the text. So please call me for a kashrus shayla. So, okay, fine, so I called. I mean, it used to be, I guess, it was always helpful, but, in today's day and age, it's unusual. So I called, and she said that she had the following unfortunate incident that happened. She has a particular chicken recipe that she always uses, her favorite chicken recipe. Kimat every week she uses this chicken recipe, and it involves using a particular dressing on the chicken. And this week, when she was in the supermarket and she bought the dressing, she noticed they had a big blue sticker on the dressing, and the blue sticker said in large letters, dairy. So she's like, oh no, they turned my favorite chicken recipe into a dairy. They turned the dressing I used it into a dairy dressing. So out of curiosity, she went home and she checked the old bottle that she had in her refrigerator. And it did not have a big blue sticker that said dairy, but it did say OUD on the hashgacha. And then she checked the ingredient panel. You know, maybe it's just DE. So she checked the ingredient panel, and it said in the ingredients skim milk, which is very much dairy. So now her shayla. So I said maybe about the lashishim. Are you sure it's a lot of skim milk? So she sent me the picture of the ingredients. And you know how at a certain point in the ingredients contains less than 2% of blah, 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 blah. So right before that was skim milk. right before that contains less than 2% was skim milk, which means probably contains more than 2% of skim milk. So now her shayla is, she said, do I need to kasher my oven? I'm like, well, forget about your oven. What do you cook the chicken in? She said, well, Pyrex, dishes, which is glass. Right? Do you use the same Pyrex every time? No, I have a bigger Pyrex, smaller Pyrex, depends on how much company we're having. Okay, what do you eat the chicken on? Well, our China dishes. And what do you eat it with? Metal forks? What do you take the chicken out of the Pyrex and onto the plate with? A fork? A serving fork where we can identify which fork it is? No, a regular fork. So now we have a lot to unpack over here. So I immediately texted Rabbi Schreier, please tell me that this was a mistake on the label and it's really less than 2% and it's possible shishim or whatever. So he emailed Rabbi Gerstin and someone else at the OU and they have not yet gotten back to me. I don't think they've come up with a solution yet. But it's very likely that this woman is going to have to, she said, my housekeeper was freaking out. I'm like, why aren't you freaking out? this is something that is freak outable about. Meaning you will have to kasher every fork, every knife, and you likely or possibly will have to throw out every dish. It seems freak outable. What? It's good to know how strong you're. So why are you sweet, everyone? Okay. So what? No, I'm not saying for sure. I'm saying Hashem Pesach is like the Marshal. So to be makel against Marshal, we're going to need We're going to need them because on Yacht, will you be starting with the Bali Inter and do three times Haggadah on each dish? She'll probably rather throw them out than do three times Haggadah on each dish. You can't even say, oh, it's one dish got mixed in or a couple of dishes. This is her favorite chicken recipe. It's always the chicken recipe that she uses. You know, so, okay, the forks and knives in kasha, that's not a big deal. Yeah. If you're starting milk with chicken, it's not. So I said, do you put the do you mix the sauce with anything else? So she said, no. She said, I poured the sauce right on the chicken, and then I put other stuff on top of it afterwards. Like, it's like the glue that holds the breading onto the chicken. But I poured a ton of the sauce right on the chicken and stick it in the oven. Like, she answered every question wrong. Every possible question is like the worst possible outcome. What?
Is that? Probably
also
onion on the chicken.
Probably, yeah, onion, and it was really neat. It wasn't chicken. Yeah.
She put the dressing on before she took the sauce.
Yes.
So then couldn't it have been that if she mixes it with
the other thing that she put on that before? She pours it straight on the chicken and cooks it.
I thought she put other things on the chicken also.
Afterwards, but it's not
before it's cooked.
Right, man.
The other thing
no, it's not mixed together. She puts breading on top of it. It's a, I don't think so.
That's not a white.
That's it's going to be a tough one. I'll keep you posted on that and the air up. Those are our two open shyness. What? Can you?
Was the husband on the phone too, or she's in
the No, the husband was not on the phone. That's an important detail. No, the husband was not on the phone. He's, okay. The husband's an accountant, so he's not going to like buying new dishes. Accountants are very, you know. It might be. Depends how expensive the plates are. It depends, you know. It could be that there's what to be made. I'm not saying not. We're going to need. I'm just hopeful that Rabbi Gerson's going to say, "Oh yeah, every once in a while we put skim milk on an ingredient panel just as a joke." And, you know, like, I don't think he's going to say that. all right. So we'll have to see. We'll have to see what happens. Then I started thinking, did I ever eat at their house? like everything's straight. Okay, so let's get started. So Sikhim Dalit Purva, so this is going to be about, like we said, about sleep. So there's a Mishnah of Chulin Tafsani Bavan Beis, which honestly is a little bit of a misleading Mishnah when you just read it Kipshuto. The Mishnah writes, Yerok Shem is Bashal Bogira Nasha, Im Yeshu Benosin Tav Arezu Asura. That if you cook the thigh of the animal with the gira nasha in it, if there's binosin tam, it's enough to binosin tam into the yarech, the whole thing is asur. And the Gemara comments, working within the sheet of the ish begitin binosin tam, that Amar Shmuel lo shon lo shon is bashal ba. Av mitzvah ba kolef vi ochel ad shemagia l'gid. That's the misleading one. Right, that Shmuel says, that's only if it's mizbashel together, but if it's mitzvah, if it's roasted together, then kolef v'ochel at shemagia l'gid. Just peel and eat until you get to the gid itself, and obviously, you're not allowed to eat the gid itself. Now, kolef v'ochel at shemagia l'gid makes it sound like you're allowed to eat all of it, except for the gid itself, that there's no nesinas tam whatsoever, but that defies logic. That's very hard to imagine that there's no nesinas tam whatsoever. By bishul, there's nesinas tam evenly throughout the whole thing. Oh, but if you have tzli, then there's like zero, no nesinas tam. So there are three possibilities of how much nesinas tam there is. Right? There's the possibility of kedei netila, the possibility of kedei klipa, and the possibility of nothing. So let's go through one by one. Tosfos on the spot in Dibra Masla Achamagia goes through different passages in Shas to try to figure out whether Kedei Klipa is something that makes sense in this context, or Kedei Netila is the more logical way to go. So Tosfos writes, well, you know, we do have Kedei Klipa that comes up in other contexts, and therefore maybe you can bring those contexts over to here. Right? Pesachim Ayin Vav, like we've been talking about a lot, Tasa agavar, the mark of Bala, that Tasa agavar, so if the bottom is cold, yeah, it's going to cool off the hot thing that comes on top of it, but in the meantime, it's going to transfer Tam b'kdeg lipa. So maybe this is similar. Maybe with Sli, you have a similar transference of Tam of k'deg lipa. Similarly, Gemara Chulin daf yubeis, that Aubar Goga, the Nafal go Kada, the Kamcha Tzli, by a klipa, that if you had a shechted bird, if it's raw and it falls into Kutach, which is Milch, and Kutach is Milch, and right, we know Kutach is that magical food that has certain factors about it, but it's Kutach, which is a Milch, and Khanif, whatever. So if it's Tzli, and if it's raw rather, it falls into Kutach, and everything is called Grits Raw. But, says the Gemara, if it's a roasted bird that falls into Kutach, then you need klipa. So also indicating that klipa is a thing that you do when there is something less than a full transference of tam. The Gemara in Chulim Chesem Beis, if you hold that the Beis HaShchita is Rotech, that the area on the animal's neck where you do the Shchita is hot, and you cut an animal with the Sakin Shalom Chavim, you need to do klipa on the Makom HaShchita. So that also indicating there's no real transference of tam fully, but klipa is going to be necessary. So that's not necessarily a great riot because there's not so much shuman on the surface of the knife, meaning it's essentially just a knife with a very little bit of shuman, so it doesn't necessarily spread as far out as a significant amount of miser would spread on your date's lead. But those are the Marmakomo's closest quotes. It's like possibilities of indicators that it's k'dei klipa. In fact, the Rashba in Taras HaBayis says that you should have to remove the k'dei klipa. And he thinks that there's no such Indian of k'dei metila because the lashon of the Gemara was kolef v'ochel ad shemagia l'kid. That you're kolef. Kolef implies that you take off k'dei klipa and eat the rest, meaning magia l'kid, kolef around the kid, and then everything past that you're allowed to eat. The raya that somebody should have bring to that sheet is the Mishnah Pesachim Daf Ayin Hei that says Sachu b'shemen truma im chaburus kohen im yochlu. And if you have a korban Pesach that they smear with truma oil, so if it's chaburus kohen im no problem, kohen im are allowed to eat truma Torah. There's no problem; they're allowed to eat it. Right? You need a chabura on the korban Pesach. Everyone needs to be registered in the minyan on the korban Pesach. So if you have a chevra of kohanim that getting together with korban Pesach, so then that's fine. But im shel Yisrael, it's chabura of Yisraelim. Im chai yadichenu v'im tzlihu yiklof esachitzo. That if it's tzli, if it's roasted, you do klipa, which makes it sound again that klipa works for tzli. So that is a possibility, and it's something that the Rashba seems to be noted toward until he comes to the Maskana, where he eventually says, "Well, the ma'aser roi lachu shlach milachu b'tilz makom." Now, the ma'aser we should be machmir for those days that say you need k'dei netila. Where does k'dei netila come from? So Tosfos points out the Gemara in Pesach Mandav Ayin Hei on the days that Natap Merotfo Alacheres. B'chazvei lov, yitol es makom. So same daf and psachim, but a raya not for klipa, a raya for netila. Now what happens? Some of the rota of the carbon hits the cheres of the oven, and then it lands back on the carbon, so a drop of the juice of the carbon pesach hits the walls of the oven, and therefore that juice is not sli esh, because it's getting heated from the walls of the oven, not directly from the fire, so it's getting roasted from the walls, not from the fire. Therefore, it's a chisarun and sliyesh, which is what carbon pesach needs to be. It needs to be sliyesh, and now it's getting absorbed into the carbon al yidei tzli. Right now, when it jumped back, that magical piece of rota that jumped off of the carbon onto the wall, jumped back from the wall onto the carbon, is now being roasted with the carbon al yidei tzli. So you need to take it k'dei metila. K'dei klipa doesn't suffice. So Tosa says, yeah, that's why you need k'dei metila. Lo ashka b'shum makom she'yitzaki l'tzli b'klipa. He says, with all my marmakomos about klipa, none of them are about roasting two things together. There are a lot of marmakomos about klipa, but they're all about different circumstances that are not about roasting two things together. So when it comes to roasting two things together, the din is metila. So again, the Rashba seemed to be noted toward klipa. Tosos gave you a bunch of marmakomos that tell you klipa applies in a lot of different places. But at the end of the day, the Rashba concludes the maskana, and Tosos seems to conclude that it's always got to be a k'dei netila. There is a third shita, and that is the shita that just reads the Gemara in the simplest way. The Arzarua and Simon Tafdun Gimel, the Rambam and Zayin Amidal, and the Rashba Tzadi Zayin Amidal says that Rashi implies you don't even need a klipa. And you can eat all the way until the gid. That's how Rashi reads the Gemara. Rashi's always trying to give you the most pashut pshat of the Gemara. The most pashut pshat of the Gemara is peeling away and eating that which you are peeling until you get to the gid. The Ramban points out that the Rambam in Malchus Asuras Perek Zayin Alachav Perek Zvav Alachav Lamid Beis also seems to say eat the entire thing. That's how the Magen Mishnah, the Kesef Mishnah explained the Rambam too, and that's what Beis Yosef writes. Beis Yosef here says, "Midivrei Rambam Nireh she'ain tzarich mitilas makom v'lo klipa shimu kedi shavit she'ain bo shishum keneged achilut kulo asir v'im yesh bo shishum keneged achilut kulo matur shesmat achilut kulo." Now we assume that it will, if there's shishim in the whole animal, so it will spread evenly to the whole animal, it will be batel b'shishim. However, not all agree. The Lech Mishnah reads the Rambam differently. He says, no, it's only because the Rambam holds Ein Begidim Lo Seitam. But if the Rambam would have held Yesh Begidim Lo Seitam, then Sli would at least have required a klipa. Nafkamina obviously would be Sli that doesn't involve a kid, right? That doesn't relate to a kid. Any other Sli in the world. What does the Rambam hold? Does the Rambam hold that Sli in general is just Mefakeh of the Kulo, and therefore it could be buffed the Shishim? Or does he say, no, Tzli is a much more localized, intense heat on that spot that transfers down in its immediate vicinity, and therefore a klipa, or perhaps a tila. Bottom line, Shulchan Mechaber Paskins in Siftalin, that of an Isser Bein Cham Bein Kar. He says, Bamed Bar Mishapel Tachatashim, Nesharot Malach Plinkas Isser Ma'arba B'Kol Tashim. Of an Isser, up until now, we've been talking about Bishop. Avul Isser Bein Cham Bein Kar Shenafel Al Tzli She'etzel Eish Eino Oser Ele Kedei Netila Shukaovi Rochav Etzba. That you only have to remove Kedei Netila, which is the thickness of your finger of the thumb. And therefore, Lefichach Yerach Shetzol Mekito O Chatichas Isser Shetzol O Chatichas Heter Benogea Zevazeh Heter and Isser touch each other over an open fire. Sorek Lahasir Kedei Netila Saviv Hagid. You need to remove a kedei netila. So that's how we paskin. So it's pretty straightforward that we paskin need kedei netila. We paskin it's not nothing and it's not kedei klipa, but it's kedei netila. Now, this is complicated by the fact that not all pieces of meat are the same. The Gemara itself goes on to say, Amy, is that really true that you could be kolich b'holich shemegiel gid kolich b'holich shemegiel gid? Amy, b'homer avuna gedisha tzalav b'chelbo asr lechol apilu me'rosh azno. That if you are roast a gedi with all of its chelav, you're not allowed to eat apilu me'rosh azno, the tip of its ear, meaning the most far flung part of the animal's body, is still considered to have been affected. So how can Shmuel say that when you roast the yerach begid, that you can eat it up until the gid, even if it means up until the kedei netila around the gid, which is how we paskin, that you're allowed to go that close, because the tav isn't going to travel any further all evening sleep, if the halacha is that when a gedi is roasted with its fat, you can't eat from any part of the animal, even the furthest extremities of the animal are off limits. So the Gemara answers, shayni chelif the mefapeh. No, that's when it's chilv, that's when it's fat. If it's fatty, then it's mefapeya. So tzli can be mefapeya if you have a fatty food. And then it becomes light bishul, where it just goes bekula. And it's going to make the whole thing aser, unless you have shishim. The Gemara then tells a story, Udave kameh Rabbi Yochanan, bigedi shetzlo b'chelbo. There was a case in front of Rabbi Yochanan where there was a gedi that they roasted with the chilv, v'omar kolei v'chalash megil l'chelbo. And he said, klipa is fine, good enough, call it, whatever that means, tila, klipa, nothing. But he said, you know, back to the original halacha, and it was b'chalo, it was with its chela, what happened to Rosh Hazno, what happened to the furthest extremities? So the Gemara says, oh no, that was a different kind of chela. The Gemara answers, ha'u kachosh hava. That was very lean fat, whatever that means. Rabbeinu Bar Yehuda Amar, it was a kidney with its fat. Meaning the rule of mefapeya does not apply to chelav kachush. By chelav kachush, it's going to be like regular tzli. It's not going to go through the whole thing. So essentially, the basic rule of tzli is it doesn't travel very far. It only travels, we'll assume, mahalacha, kedei detila. Even though three possibilities of mahalacha, kedei detila. The exception to that rule is if it's chelav. Chelav goes to the furthest extremities. The exception to the exception, that l'chara goes back to the original rule, is if it's chelav kachush. That if it's chelav kachush, then it's just like regular tzli. Now, there are two ways to understand this idea of chelav kachush. Tosfos on the spot and the Rush point out that one way to understand the chelav kachush is that the chelav of this particular animal was not so fatty, so it was not nefapeh. Others say no, chelav kachush means that there was such a small quantity of chelav that even when it is nefapeh, it's bottled the shish. Meaning, one possibility is because it's chelav kachush, it's like regular flea, it doesn't travel too far, it stays localized. The other possibility is that chelav kachush is such a small amount of chelav that it will be mefapeya, but it's going to be mefapeya in such minute amounts that it's going to be bottled b'shishim. So it travels equally to the furthest extremities, but it's kachush, so whatever it is going to be bottled b'shishim. That would mean, if you say like the second explanation, once you have chelav mefapeya, then roasting is just the same as bishul. Meaning, once you're going to say that it is mefapeya, you can say it's like bishul where you have little b'shishim. That even the area immediately around it is not going to need any kedei netila anything. You just have regular bits of b'shishim. It's a kula, right? Meaning the second way of understanding that chelav kachush spreads, but it's such a small amount of chelav that it doesn't do anything. According to the first answer, you have to assume that when there's chelav mefapeya, it doesn't spread 100% evenly. Right, we said the chelav of that particular animal was not fatty, so it's not mefapeya, but it's mefapeya somewhat, but it's just not evenly. And there could be, meaning when you have regular chelav, it's mefapeya, and I said it wrong. Meaning, what if you have real chelav mefapeya? What if you have, according to the second explanation, that it's chelav kachush, and because it's chelav kachush, it's not mefapeya in large numbers. It doesn't really mefapeya. It just mefapeya tiny amounts of it can get to further to the far reaches of the animal, and therefore you only need to remove a kedei netila from around it. It sounds like when you have chelav, when you have fatty chelav, that's mefapeya b'kulo evenly. That will go everywhere. Which would mean that when you have chelav, when you have real chelav, it's going to be buffered to shishim if you have shishim kenegdo. And that's what I mean. Right? If you have shishim kenegdo, it will have to be buffered to shishim. But if you say like the first explanation of the Rishonim, that chelav kachush means that this particular animal was not so fatty, then you have to assume that when there is chelav mefapeya, it doesn't necessarily spread 100% evenly, and there could be a higher concentration of the iser in the closer proximity and a lesser concentration of the iser in further proximity, which would mean that you can't just apply bittul d'shishim. You're still going to have to take care of what's nearby. And that's the Shitas HaRa'ah. The Ran quotes a Ra'ah that there's no bittul d'shishim by tzli umalicha because it spreads far, but it doesn't spread evenly. So you may have a cluster of tam in one spot. That if it doesn't spread evenly, you always have to be worried that maybe in this spot it stopped and, you know, it got off the train in that spot and just settled there. So you're never going to be able to apply bittul d'shishim. So it seems like there are two things to be shown him. When something is mefapeya, do we assume it's mefapeya evenly, or do we assume it's mefapeya somewhat randomly? Now, kamina is whether you can do bittul d'shishim, whether you can apply bittul d'shishim. Then there's a third possibility. Again, first two possibilities are it spreads fully evenly. So if you have shishim, great. If you don't have shishim, not great, right? And then the second possibility is it spreads sporadically and the clusters everywhere. So you can never assume bittul d'shishim. Even if you have shishim, you can't assume bittul d'shishim. You have to assume everything is asur because it could be that there's just a cluster of tam chelav, you know, in different spots. Then there's a third possibility, and that is the Rashba. The Rashba says that when something is mefapeya, you can apply bittul d'shishim, but you still need to remove whatever's in the immediate vicinity, kedei netila. Meaning, we don't assume that there are clusters here or clusters there, but kedei netila, that's your cluster. Kedei netila is where there's going to be the highest concentration of tam, and then the rest we assume it spreads evenly. essentially, the mefateya means that it might spread through the entire thing, and therefore would only require a shishim, but there also might be a higher concentration at the point of contact. Meaning there's no, like, in-between. There's no, it's spreading and then getting off the train before the Rosh Hashanah. It either spreads and spreads evenly throughout everything, or at the point of contact, it stays clustered. So you need to account for both possibilities. And therefore, you're going to need shishim in the rest of the animal, kineged, the assert, just in case it spread. And you need to remove kineged ketiba in case it didn't spread. One second. The Rashba is the one who only required a kineged klipa, by non-fatty tzli. But fatty meat, he'll assume, will spread a little bit further, so he says kineged ketiba. The Rashba is probably based on the Gemara Pesachim about the rotav and the tcharis, right? That it comes back into the Karm Pesach. That if you view the Karm Pesach as fatty, we have to be concerned that it's more highly concentrated with kineged ketiba, not just kineged klipa. And even though by Karm Pesach, you would imagine you'd be concerned, according to the Rashba, you should have to be concerned that it spread evenly throughout the whole thing. Yeah, but in a Karm Pesach, there's undoubtedly going to be shishim, a whole animal. The Karm Pesach is always a whole animal. There's undoubtedly going to be shishim, kineged, a drop of rotav that comes back, right? It's undoubtedly going to be shishim in such a case. So, again, three basic shitas. One possibility is it spreads evenly throughout everything, and therefore you have different shishim. Second possibility is it spreads sporadically, and therefore you never have digital anything. And the third possibility is, if it spreads, it spreads evenly, but if it doesn't, it remains concentrated in a kedenet.
How do you understand that Gemara if it's talking about rotav?
What do you mean?
It's not
Gemara is talking about the rotav, that's the natural juices. So it's not that it's sitting in the sauce. Karm Pesach's not allowed to sit in the sauce. So that's not called dish. Karm Pesach's sliyish.
That's the same as like a
Dabar Yadim? That's Sli for sure. There is some sort of machlokas about how exactly to be makdir Sli, but that there's no doubt.
What would the Raj say? You don't know where it landed.
What would
what
the...
Do think, what do you do?
Ah, so we'll get to that in a moment. Now, the Mechaber passage in Sifhei, Gedish HaMech Shetzalah B'chalva, Im Ein B'chalah Gedish Shishim K'neged HaChelev Shabo. If you don't have shishim, kineged mechelev, asul ha'aklav yidu mirosh, asul shkid shusham mefateh v'kula. And if you don't have shishim, then you have to assume mefateh v'kula. Aval imu kafush, apal tishem go shishim kineged kala chelev shalom. If it's kafush, even though it doesn't have shishim, kineged all the chelev, eino asur ele kedeh metila. Shachel shalem kusha kafush, apal tibo vein mefateh. Right, so far no surprises. Right, the Chavar says if it's kafush, so you know it's not mefateh, it only remains kedeh metila. If it's very fatty, then you know it's mefateh of kulo, and you need shisha. The kol davar sheish lo pipua shenafu lamakom yadua me'achaticha b'tzli, afal pi sheish b'chaticha shish mevat lis v'tzar b'til zmakom. Says the Chavar, but you know the spot where it landed, and it's something that has papu, it's mefateh. It's something that is fatty. So you know it's mefateh, you still need kedeh metila, meaning like the Rashba. Right, that even though it's mifabeya, you're still going to need kedei netila. Then the Mechaber writes a great chiddush, and he writes, "Va'afilu chaticha si iser chusha." What if the iser was not fatty? The iser was kafush. V'chatichas hetish nitzima shmeina, and the kosher meat that was roasted with it was fatty. Iser mifabeya pukuta. We assume that the iser will still be mifabeya throughout all the kosher meat. Meaning the heter is the fatty one. So no, up until now we've been assuming the iser was fatty, and therefore the iser just spread throughout everything. But if the heter was fatty, we didn't imagine that. The Mechaber says that's still going to be that it's going to be mefapeh b'kula. It's a chiddush din that the Mechaber is quoting from the tour. Rishonim don't really quote this; they don't say this. Yad Yehuda says he found it in Sefer Eshkol. So you don't find them too many classical Rishonim. The Achronim had to work hard to find where this came from. So Beis Yosef writes that the Torah must have learned this from Recha Milsa. The Gemara Pesachim says that even Basar Nevela Kachush is with Basar Shchuta Shamein. The Basar Shchuta is Mefatim Le Basar Nevela, and then the Reich of the Nevela will penetrate the Shchuta. We have, by Recha, you have such a concept. That the kosher one could affect the non-kosher one with its fattiness, and therefore enable the non-kosher thing to do, to have an impact. So there are two ways one can technically understand this sheet. Either that the heter fattens up the isser, and now that the isser is a fatty isser, it can do everything a fatty isser can do. Right? That the heter has its impact on the fatty isser, therefore the fatty isser can wear. Or no, the heter has no impact on the fatty isser, on the isser. The isser is accomplished, and the heter cannot fatten up the isser. What happens is the isser jumps into the heter, and once the heter absorbs the tam of the isser, it becomes this fatty superhighway for transferring that tam everywhere. So the tam of the isser is like a fatty chatichas isser in its own right, and then passes on the tam. Meaning once that tam is absorbed in the heter, it now becomes fatty isser. The heter itself becomes fatty isser because it absorbed tam of isser. Which seems to assume chana, the shari sur. Right? It seems to assume that, oh, once my fatty heter absorbs some tam of isser, oh, so now it's fatty isser because any tam kinder, it has tam of isser in it. The Prima Gadim says, I, but what if you don't know chana b'shari sur? He says, I'm sorry, he says, no, even if you do all chana b'shari sur, it's difficult to understand. Because the nesr shouldn't be able to aser outside the makam shi'isu yachalele. Right? That's the old principle. That which was nesr should not have a greater capacity than the original isser. The original isser was kafir. The original isser couldn't go anywhere. And yet the nesr is going to be able to go somewhere. Anyway, that's the chiddush din of the eshkol, the tur, and the chadim. The Taz, the Raj, the Chadash all disagree with this din entirely. If you look in Taz, in continuity, he has all these discussions of why he doesn't like this din, why he thinks that this din is incorrect. Then the Rambam comes along with the Chumash. So again, so far we have, the Mechaber said, started off not surprising. Kachush is only Kedei Matila. Shamei, you're going to be from Hei Abakula, you're going to get Shishim. Good. Then he said, but if you know where the item hit, even if it was shamein, you still need a kedei matila. You need shishim in the whole thing, but you still need to take off kedei matila. And then the mechaber said the surprising thing that even if the isser is kafus, but the heter is shamein, we still assume it has the ability to be mekabel b'chulot. And then the Ramah comes with the chumra. Now the Gemara spoke about two cases, two extreme cases. We have a case of gid. Gid is very kalish, and therefore the tam doesn't go very far. How far does the tam go with the gid? Only kedei matila. And then we have chela. And chela is very fatty, so that goes everywhere. What about stam, a piece of meat? I don't know. You order a piece of meat, it's not chela. It's not a fatty piece of meat. A nice, lean cut of meat. It's not gid. Gid anash is a sinew, it's a vein. Right? So what about everything? He never talks about regular basa. Is that shoving or is that kalish? So the sugya on Kufi Beis and Kufi Gimel, which discusses Maliyah, Shadina Kitzli, says that if you salt basar shchuta in basar trefa, the meat becomes asir, implying that the meat is fat. But the Baal Yishul Chorach assumed that meat is like gid and it's kafish, right? The Baal Yishul Chorach assumed that, no, it needs to be chelev, it needs to be shamin, you need to know that it's shamin. Mashmaus of the Rambam and Mafalas Asurus says that all meat is fat. And that gid is kafush, so opposite directions. So the Ramah adds over here, he says, V'yesh omrin, deina lo b'ki ineizim mekri kafush o shavim. I don't know. Meaning, everyone takes sides. Is meat kafush, is meat shavim? Ramah says, I don't know. I don't think anyone really knows. And therefore, v'yesh lesa b'cholinim. So you always have to assume the worst. Adi kashishim. Meaning, you always have to assume it's shavim enough that you're going to need shishim. V'afilu kashishim, tzarek v'afilu smakom v'afilu. And even when you have shishim, you're still going to need tilas makom because that's the shishim's rash, but that's what you do when you have enough shavim. They have shishim plus the tilas makom. The dafka the iser chela b'sharis is the shayich b'shamnunis. Abul the iser kol shayich b'shamnunis who b'vaday kafush eno sarak and demetiva. It says unless you have something like gid, something that you know for sure is no shamnunis, then when it's sleep, when it's dry cooked, it's roasted, then not the only need to name the tefillah. So the Rabbi's choshish said everything is mefapeya, that everything that might be fatty is fatty. However, the Biragraf points out, it's only chashash. It's not what the Rabbi holds meikar adin. Marshal actually holds his way to Medina. But the Rabbi just said, I don't know, I don't think anybody knows, so I'm choshish. Not that meikar adin, piece of meat, is fatty, but I'm choshish. And therefore you need a kedei netilah, because you have to be choshesh that maybe it's not mefapeah. Even if it was vada mefapeah, we pass on a grash, but anyway, you still need a kedei netilah. Right? But certainly if you're only choshesh, that's mefapeah, then for sure, you need kedei netilah l'chaladeh, so you don't even have to say that grash. There are many rishonim that say the same thing as Ramah. Ramah didn't invent this. It appears in the Rabbeinu Peretz, the Ritva, Sharidura, both Harmonios, all the Achronim quote all these rishonim on the page. There are many, many rishonim that say like this from the Ramah. Now, once the Ramah says that every meat is chuk, that all meat is fatty, is there any nafkamina halacha lemaisa to kafish? Right? Do we ever have anything kafish? So remember, we said, if there's something you know for sure is kafish, then it's only kedei netilah. Would this ever come up? Halacha l'maaseh. So that most of the time when we're dealing with stuff in our kitchens, everything's a basar chalav shayla. And whenever you're dealing with basar, you always have the Ramah, everything is shamay, right? So where would this ever come up? We normally don't have non-kosher foods in our kitchen. So where would this ever come up? That you're dealing with an isser kafir. So Reisman had a Gevaldik example. He says, matzah kfula. Right? Ramah's holding by Pesach. So when matzah gets folded over, it's chashkinus. If you have matzah, right, you ever notice your matzah doesn't have folds in it? What happens if, well, when they're taking it in, taking it out, and they're working so fast, doesn't matzah sometimes get folded and baked that way? Yeah, and then they break it and throw it out. Right, because the matzah kula is chashkinus. Sometimes they sell boxes of shavarim, of broken matzahs, for a lot cheaper than the boxes of the whole matzahs. Sometimes they sell boxes of whole matzahs and they're really broken. But sometimes they sell boxes where they tell you in advance, don't worry, these matzahs are broken. So how do they really get the broken matzahs from? So sometimes they just break as they're baking them, but sometimes it's because there was a fold. And that luck is when there's a fold, you need to take off the fold, you know, crack off the fold and throw it out. And then the rest that you're left with is a broken matzah now. So that they throw in the box as a shever, as a broken matzah. The Reisman said he's marked it not to buy shvar. Why? No? It's dry roasted. Cheshash chivos. How much do you need to remove around that area? It's a double kafush. Matzah is for sure kafush, right? There's no shamunis. How much do you have to remove around that area?
Netila.
I don't know. They're working very fast. The people all know the immigrant who's working in the matzah bakery or whatever, who doesn't necessarily speak the language of the mashkiach or whatever, right? They necessarily know that to remove a kedei netilah, he's kosher. I'm not saying that you can't fish for him. I think they do a kedei netilah. If it happens, then the whole thing is a chashli. Yeah.
What about hamakam yamish?
But whenever you have basa, you always have shamlutas. The other ramification of this, let's see if you have time to get through a couple. The Yosef Ahetra says, Kval Yudal, that the Diyavet, if it was cooked without removing a kedei netilah, the chatikah still didn't be mutter, so long as you have shishim kedei netilah. Meaning, the Rashpas Chumra, that when you have the davar shamayim, you also want to take the kedei netilah. It's a chumra. The davar shamayim, it's really mefateh v'kula, all you're really in the shish. So the chachilu, we also take the kedei netilah. However, p'schichuva sifkat min yalif, and the Yoruch HaShulchan sifkat min yalif, point out, that's only if it's really the davar shamayim. Then you could say, okay, but the evidence, I didn't take the kedei netilah, it was mefateh v'kula anyway, so it's really about the shish. But if it's a Ramaz davar shamayim, meaning if it's really a davar kafush and it's just that you listen to the Ramah, because the Ramah says we have to be choshesh, everything's a davar shamayim. Choshesh, but not to be making that everything's a davar shamayim. And even with the end, that the kedei netilah is going to be awesome. Failure to take a kedei netilah will also. If you then cook it together, right, the whole thing's going to be awesome. Third potential application of this, Rabbi Kiveger and Dibra Maslow Shanaf Lerat. Prichadash kasa, and this who raised the point before, Zach, about not knowing where it landed. Yeah, so it says from Kiveger, to prichadash kasa, the dafka l'makom yadua. That it's only if it fell on a makom yadua. But if I don't know exactly where it fell, what are you going to do? I'm going to take a kedei netila off of the entire chaticha? Nah. Because you have shishim anyway, and the kedei netila is only a chumra to begin with. Aval b'kachush da netila midina. But when you're dealing with double kachush, we're taking off kedei netila's maker adin. And the only reason we say you also need shishim and urchoshish is because the Ramah that everything might be shaming, but it's really kachush. Then Then you're going to need to take off kedei netila in the entire chaticha. And then Rabbi Kivegra adds, but nevertheless, I think even if it's kaplish, if you know it only touched one spot, you just don't know which spot, he says, the kedei netila that it landed on is a tarobis with all the other kedei netilos, and it becomes batel barov. And normally you're not going to rely on batel barov because you're afraid that you're going to then cook it. And if you cook it, you wouldn't need a shishim. He said, well, if you cook this, you'll have shishim. Because you'll have shishim in the entire chatikah. So then you won't have a problem anyway. The loshayim may shabi yivashim, the bishl yishishim kala chatikah neged achela. If you then cook it, you'll have shishim against the chelib in the entire chatikah. Because then the chelib is going to spread perfectly evenly. Assuming you don't say chanan b'shari surim in the kedei b'tivu, then you can't chanan. Because you won't necessarily have shishim kenegi at the kenegi at evil. Right? The Torah is assuming that way. So again, the ikar adin is, the Rashba writes, that when you have a davar shaming, really it's mufateh v'chulam. Really it's mufateh v'chulam. And we're machmir to take off the kenegi at evil also. The Ramah has a chulam that even a davar kachush is considered to be is we're nervous might be a davar shamek, and therefore you need shishim as if it's mufateh b'kulo, but me'ikra din you need kedei netila because really it's a davar kachush. The main nafkamina whether you know it's a davar shamek and you're doing the shishim plus kedei netila like the Rashba, or you don't know that it's a davar shamek and you're doing shishim and kedei netila like the Ramah. Nafkamina is that kedei netila me'ikra din, or is it not me'ikra din? So if you know, for example, so if we have three nafkaminas, right? We have the case of the folded matzah, where you know that it's for sure not a davar shamei, so the kedei netila is me'ikra din, and therefore the shvarim, it's a reasonable chumra that Rabbi Reisman has not to buy the shvarim, because who knows if it's a kedei netila. Application number two is b'dieved in a Rashba case, in a case where you know that it's a davar shamein, and really it's mefabeh b'kulo, and the kedei netila is just a chumra. So b'dieved would be kosher without a kedei netila. But in a case where a Ramah case, when I say Ramah case, what I mean, it's a davar kachush, that we're just being choshesh is a davar shamein, and even b'dieved, if you didn't take the netila, it's going to be awesome. Right? Even the diabet, if you didn't take the kedei netila and then you cooked it, you have to assume that all kedei netila asked for everything. And the third example is where I don't know exactly where it fell. So if you assume a Rashba case where I don't know exactly where it fell, okay, kedei netila is only chumma, so you can be made. But a Ramah kedei netila is still going to be required. It's double kachash, I don't know where it fell, the kedei netila is still going to be a problem. Until Rabbi Kivir comes in and saves the day and says, but I could probably be naked even like Ramah, because that kedei netila that became aser, which ena chinami became aser, is but the little the other kedei netilos that are around it. And I'm not choshesh that shemi yavashel, because if you're mevashel, then it will for sure be batel, it will for sure be batel b'shishu. Alright, well, so there's a beautiful Megillah Sefer. If you want to take a look, I don't know if we're going to discuss that Sunday or not. Megillah Sefer is one of the world's favorite Sefer on Yerodeya. So, okay, we'll discuss it. But, okay, but that's at least not a lot. Have a great Shabbos, everybody.